Buenos dias and buenvenido to Under the Abbey Stand Extra. You might have tuned in expecting the dulcet northern tones of Jack Swindlehurst, but unfortunately he's busy this afternoon, standing on King's Parade with a straw hat, playing the banjo and trying to earn enough money to fix the holes in his shoes. Instead, you've got me, Julian Roberts, live from the east coast of Spain, but more importantly, live from the dizzy heights of second in League Two. United started the season only got better yesterday as we brushed aside league leaders Newport with the sort of calm, studied performance of champions. Over the next half an hour in a new series of short, bite-sized pods, we'll chat Wes and Paul, monsoons, and the significant absence of a Mick George Skip Higher sponsorship on yesterday's match shirts. You might ask, you guys are so fickle just doing more podcasts when we're playing well. And you'd be right. We'll be back to our normal once every 3 month slot as soon as Wes's knee goes and we're 16th again. Joining me in the virtual Utah studio is a man who has recently recorded 3 hours of a personal monologue on Lionel Perez's haircut, entitled Perm, Fringe and Die Hard United, Die Spelt D-Y-E, which has been pressed onto vinyl and available in a limited run of 5,000 copies. It's Owen Kiernan. Hello, mate.
Hi, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Yes, it's nice to be doing these from the lofty position of second in the league, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. The nosebleed, I can see it. We've all got nosebleeds. It's madness. First of all, where do you think the single's going to chart in the top 40?
I suspect 4,500 of those copies will be returned and pulped.
Wow, you've got high expectations.
Yeah, I've seen it happen all too many times.
Yeah. And alongside him, the regular of regulars, a man so committed to UTAS, he has recently invested in a full arm sleeve tattoo of Jordan Warland's beard with the words, "You'll never pod alone," across the top. It's the Mile End Mullin, Tom Walker. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, very good, thank you. The intro I delivered, but I'll be the postman for nothing. Always. Yeah. Super. Good to be back again.
Yeah. Mate, it's lovely to be back. How much did the tattoo cost?
Jordan paid for it.
Did he?
The whole thing. Yeah.
We ran out of arms. Is that like the Matthew Bantomo one you've got on your back? He paid for that one.
Yeah, I'm actually having to get that one lasered so I can get Houlihan 14 tattooed there instead. That's obviously taking priority.
Before we get into the meat and bones of yesterday's brilliant win, I thought we'd start with a quick quiz. Seeing as we seem to play them every other week, why don't we test ourselves on our past encounters with Newport? It's first on the buzzer, and it's called Newport, Newport, what are we going to do with Newport? And Tom, your buzzer name is Paul Mullin, so you just need to shout Paul Mullin. And Owen, yours is Wes Houlihan. Or Wesley, if you prefer. It's up to you. All right. Here we go. All the questions are since promotion, and they include yesterday's result. So question number one. How many times have we played Newport since 2014 in all competitions?
Houlihan.
Go.
I'll say nine.
Nine? Paul?
I'm going to go 11.
The correct answer is 16.
16? Jesus.
Yeah. That's too many. Who is the top scorer across these encounters?
Paul Mullin.
That's a great answer. He's second. Oh, sorry. It's your name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry, Tom.
Where's not what I was going to go with. Yeah. That's a real design flaw with this.
It's really messed up.
I'm going to go with your friend of mine, Josh Labadie.
Oh, no, United goal scorer, sorry.
Oh, United.
That's probably
one of the own goals.
Yeah. No, go on. Is your actual answer?
My actual answer would be, in that case, then, if you're asking me to choose or name someone. We've played 16 times.
Yeah.
I've had to play a few.
Wes, feel free.
I'm going to go with McGeehan. He scored a couple of times.
It's a good answer. You got an advancement on that, Owen? Sorry, Wes.
It's I'm trying to think who would have been here for the most games, and
I will tell you that the top scorer is 3 goals. And the amount of different goal scorers we've had is about 16. So it's about one a game.
I'm going to say Luke Berry.
Great shout, but no. No, it's Barry Cole with 3. 0-0 still.
Oh, very cool, yeah.
What, do you remember him, yeah? What is the biggest scoreline of either team in these matches?
In terms of goals or difference?
In terms of the biggest scoreline difference. Yeah, yeah. Houlihan, go.
4-1.
4-0 is the correct answer. And it's the match that Man United... Do you remember that game just before Man United? January 17th, 2015. McGinn scored twice in that.
He did, yeah. We looked really good in that.
Donaldson,
incredible. I think we were talking about it in the WhatsApp the other day, weren't we?
The chat, yeah. All right. Who comes out on top in all of these meetings? This is an interesting one.
I feel like our record is really bad, but I also feel like we won a lot of the games earlier. In terms of the league?
Everything, sorry. Yeah, all competition.
Everything. So yeah. Wins, draws, losses.
That's what we expect. I don't think it's as bad as we're expecting it to be.
Paul Mullen.
Go on.
I'm going Newport.
Okay. Wes?
I don't have a choice other than to go United, do I?
Yeah, exactly.
Newport, but,
you'd both be wrong because it's exactly equal.
Interesting.
Yeah. Seven wins, lost seven, drawn two. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was close.
I expected them to absolutely batter us at that. But anyway. And this is a nice and hard one to end on. What is the aggregate scoreline since 2014 in all these meetings?
I'm going to go
easy, lads.
Paul Mullen.
Go on.
I'm going to go 32-30 in favour of us.
Ooh, confident.
I mean, 28-26 to United.
You both were on close. It's Newport 23, Cambridge United 22. And that's the game. So
is that the end of the pod?
I hope you enjoyed Newport. What are we going to do with Newport? Right, on to more important matters. At the time of recording, Cambridge United sits second in League Two. God, it feels good to say. Yesterday's 2-1 win over Newport felt like the most significant yet. Tom, how refreshing and positive is it to have a genuine goal-scoring striker?
Very. In a word,
right?
We talked a lot over the last few years about not having one, and it's always been a real bugbear that it's just not been addressed. When there's probably been chances out there to do it and players out there to do it. So, when last season we obviously brought him in on loan in terms of Paul Mullen. I kind of assumed that he would just go back to Tranmere. Obviously, they dropped down a level. It would have been probably a chance for him to continue getting games a bit closer to home at a club, maybe with a more sort of talked about chance of promotion. So it was one that I'd maybe just kind of given up on. But obviously, so to get him was really good. And he's been excellent these first few weeks of the season. Sort of stat earlier, I think he's played 14 games for us since joining back in February or in January, at the back end of the January window. I think he scored 9 in 14 games, which is brilliant. He's probably not going to keep that up, that sort of level of goal scoring. I wouldn't have thought. That'd be pretty impressive if he did. But yeah, it's really good to have somebody who, you know, you've got the creativity in the team now. You know, Houlihan, Elmazouni will play more games. Boateng, who will come in, who I'm sure we'll talk about. It's great to have somebody who can get on the end of it and actually do something with it, rather than sort of seasons gone by where maybe you had good players who were making chances and no one to finish them off. So it's really refreshing and really good to see.
And we talked about Mullen there, but Owen is yesterday's performance was obviously, as I mentioned, probably our most significant yet. And there were standout performances all over the pitch. Was there anyone in particular who stood out for you?
Everyone, really. I mean, I can't. Yeah, yesterday was, yeah, like you said, like a really complete performance. And, you know, off the back of Exeter, where, you know, we didn't play badly, but nothing really happened for us. And, you know, Tranmere, where we probably played a bit worse, and, you know, even Carlisle, we didn't play great, but took our chances. So, I mean, I'm really enjoying seeing Hannan and Houlihan like link up. They seem to have a really good understanding. They seem to, you know, play the ball amongst each other quite a bit. It's also like really good to see that, you know, there's a bit of backbone in this team. And, you know, we saw with Hannan yesterday, he was, okay, it was a little bit petulant, him kicking out like that. But, you know, I think it was a, you know, he was reacting to a provocation. But, you know, in times gone by, we'd have been bullied out of that game. You know, Newport came to rough us up a little bit. And, you know, even some of the, you know, the kind of like more lightweight players, I suppose, like Nibs late on in the game, were, you know, they were standing their ground. Digby was, you know, an absolute shithouse, which we love to see, you know, booting the ball down the tunnel there at the end of the game was, really wound them up. So, you know, it's just nice to see a United team with a bit of a fight, because we've always had these, you know, these hard men midfielders like, you know, James Dunn and Gary Deegan, but have just really been a bit wet, haven't they? And, you know, now we've got a bit of fight in the team. So that's, you know, that's good to see. I don't want to see Hannan kicking people every week, but, you know, because he's got bookings in him. Digby's got, you know, I don't know how many yellow cards Digby's on already. It's 3 or 4, isn't it? But, you know, he's going to pick up a few suspensions this season as well, I'm sure. But, you know, it also means, you know, we're not pushovers. We'd have, you know, under Calderwood or Darn or Derry, we'd, you know, we'd probably have drawn that game or even thrown it away at the end there. So it's nice to see, you know, it's nice to see us kind of keep getting stuck in and play till the end.
Do you think they've watched the All or Nothing Spurs documentary and just taken heed of Mourinho's word and gone, do you know what?
Can you imagine Bonner being like that in the dressing room? Yeah. Can you imagine him using that language? He seems too nice.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Bonner, actually, I wanted to speak about the change in formation before the game, because it's the first time, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's changed from 4-4-2, definitely in the league. And to be fair to him, why would you? You're winning your first game 3-0, your second 5-0. After his first defeat, Tom, we mentioned yesterday when we were chatting on our WhatsApp group when the teams came out that regardless of result, he deserves a lot of credit for reacting to the loss at Exeter and trying something new. Do you think, how much of an impact do you think that had on the performance yesterday?
Yeah, massive. We said regardless of result, but I think the fact that we won means he deserves a lot more credit, because the formation change in terms of sort of 4-2-3-1, 4-4-1-1, whatever you want to call it, putting Wes in the hole, allowing him to kind of dictate things a little bit more, directly contributed to the result. Obviously, he set up both goals in terms of Houlihan. And, you know, I know sometimes people look at a formation like that and think there's only one striker up top, it must be negative. But, you know, we asked the question between ourselves, would you rather have a second striker in Ironside, who admittedly has done pretty well so far, or would you rather get the best out of Houlihan? And the answer was pretty unanimous, I think. And if we can get the best out of Houlihan regularly, like we said last week, we're probably going to do very well this season, because he'll be the best player in the league, obviously what he does. But yeah, deserves massive credit. Because I think more than anything, it was quite brave. He's still, you know, although we have known the name for a long time and he's been around the club for several years, he's still very, very junior, even in just in terms of his coaching career. You know, he's only 34, I think. You know, there's literally players in the squad who are older than him. And it would have been very, very easy, given the start that we had, just to stick with what had been successful up to that point, or had been reasonably successful up to that point. And one of the sort of criticisms that we had during the Exeter game was that he wasn't necessarily proactive enough within game. Well, he changed that. So, you know, to make quite a big change like that in terms of the shape of the team leading into your next game against what were the league leaders coming up in Newport, deserves a lot of credit for. And obviously it went really well. And like I say, it directly contributed to us winning the game. So even more so. And if you can show more of that in terms of sort of clever management, whether it's in game, whether it's selecting the team for the game, then you know, it's an obvious positive on his record. And you know, we mentioned obviously with Mullin's goal scoring record being so good since he joined. Well, Bonner's managerial record since he took over has been excellent. I think that's his 10th win already for us, which is mad. Like, he's only been managing, I think, 14 games or so.
I think since he's taken over, only Cheltenham have got more points than United over that period of time.
Yeah, it's one of those,
doesn't he? He still likes a late sub.
Say again, Owen.
He still leaves his subs quite late.
Yeah,
you know, we've noticed in a few games. If there's one thing I'd like to see him try, if you're listening, Mark, give it a go. 60 minutes, bring someone on. You know, let him make a bit of impact on the game.
Trust the bench. Yeah, it's true. We were saying it yesterday. I also wanted to, I mean, I think he deserves massive criticism. Sorry, not criticism. praise for the start and the change in formation yesterday, and clearly that they want to play for him. And this is not trying to wage a criticism at him, but I did wonder if anyone else had thought that listening to his post-match interview, he just the way we were speaking about beating Newport, I just thought Newport are one of the best teams in the league, and so are Exeter and Tranmere, and they will all be up there. But I thought there was a sort of an aspect that we were sort of playing ourselves down. Like I think if you look at our squad, and especially if you look at our start, there's no reason why we shouldn't be going and beating Newport. It doesn't make it. I mean, it was a quality win, don't get me wrong, but I think he just spoke about it like we'd beaten a championship team in the FA Cup or something. I think we were giving them a little bit too much respect, maybe. I don't know if anyone else agreed with me. What do you think?
I think we spoke about this a little bit in the last pod about the kind of expectations and ambitions of the club at the moment. And, you know, especially this season, you know, with the financial issues and, you know, the lack of fans. Yeah. And, we were kind of talking about how, you know, how Bonner's going to be judged and whether they'll, you know, kind of cut him a little bit more slack as opposed to, you know, in a normal season. I think he's probably as surprised as we are by our league position. And, you know, he knows that, you know, I suspect he probably knows that we have got a small squad. You know, we don't have, apart from really up front, we don't have a huge amount of depth. You know, we have three centre-backs and, you know, our goalkeepers are, okay, Mitchell's playing really well this season. He's actually kind of added quite a bit to his game. But, you know, in the season preview pod, we, you know, we kind of both discussed our lack of faith in either of them. So, you know, yeah, I can see him giving, maybe that's just how it is. Maybe that's just his nature to be, you know, that kind of friendly, affable guy that, you know, is respectful as opposed to someone who comes out moaning all the time, like, you know, like a lot of other managers in this league.
And I think I would also be criticising the opposite, right, which is like getting ahead of yourself and being too big for your boots. But speaking on yesterday, I know we've mentioned him, but should we just talk about Wes Hoolan for another couple of minutes? Tom, how about you? You just go talk about Wes Hoolan for the next 3 minutes and I'm going to time you.
Can I have a bit longer? Can I have like an hour?
No, four.
4 minutes, all right. Yeah, he was brilliant. It's exactly the sort of performance that I was kind of hoping for when we signed him. I think there was always that sort of lingering worry that he was over the hill, so to speak. Obviously, 38-year-old sort of coming down, but it was always obvious that he was going to have quality well above what probably anyone else in the team does, and certainly what anyone else in the league does. And if you can get him centrally, you can get him behind a striker. Not only is he directly contributing to the sort of attacking side of things, he's just always involved. And it did feel that way yesterday. And obviously he got the two assists, which were brilliant. You know, the ball into Mullen for the first was excellent. Being able to pick him out and weight it so perfectly on a difficult pitch for the second was even better. Oh, come on. give me more than that. But there were so many other times, you know, where in the group chat, you know, we're talking about amongst ourselves as the game's ongoing. And it felt like every minute it was like, look at what Hoolahan's done there. It was brilliant. You know, little flicks, little passes. It was just like a level above. So it was really good, to see. And yeah, hopefully we continue to see him play in there as well, because I feel that's where we're going to get the most out of him. And yeah, if we can do that, then we're always going to be with a shout of winning games and finishing the season strongly.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying watching him play. You can just tell he's, you know, absolute class above. And, you know, if you think back kind of, you know, he's playing under you know, a pretty inexperienced manager. So, you know, having that kind of, you know, that kind of name in the dressing room must do wonders for, you know, for someone like Bonner to have that experience of managing someone who's played at the top level, and, you know, for the younger players in the dressing room as well. You know, just to, you know, when you see what he does, like, you know, what must he be like in training? He must be incredible, mustn't he? Like,
yeah. I mean, he's 4 years older than Mark Bonner. It's absolutely,
yeah. Great. I mean, what was Bonner doing in 2016 when was goals at the Euros? You know, Bonner was like managing our under 15s or something, wasn't he?
So. Imagine trying to like tell him to mark someone. Wes, with your man. It's like, mate, I was at the Euros 4 years ago. Shut your mouth. Speaking of central midfielders, though, I want to talk about our latest man in the door, Hiram Boateng. Seems another very, very useful signing for us. You mentioned our smaller squad there a minute ago, Owen. But I was wondering if how much you thought, how much of a welcome addition a centre mid like Boateng is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's exactly what we need, really. Obviously, haven't seen a huge amount of him play for us. You know, he a victim of one of Bonner's trademark late substitutions yesterday. But you know, he got busy. He nearly scored. He put himself about. He's from the kind of highlights I've seen of him at Exeter. I thought he was more attacking, but he seems to be more of a kind of defensive midfielder. So hopefully, hopefully he'll free up Digby to kind of do that box-to-box role that he was doing so well until Liam O'Neill went off against Carlisle. So, yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the signing. You know, signings from a higher level that are, still young and not past it are always welcome. So, I'm all for him. He looks good.
Tom, who do you think, speaking of the transfer market, who would you like us to see bring in? I'm not actually entirely sure when the transfer market closes, but still got some time, right?
Yeah, I think it's towards the end of this week. I'm not sure exactly when, like yourself, but I think the one area that I'd maybe be looking at still would be centre-back. But having said that, I think we were talking a lot about just strengthening the spine of the team in the last pod. And we've done that with Boateng. I know he's obviously not going to play at centre-back, but he gives that extra level of protection, which maybe we were talking about was needed, to free Digby up a little bit. A bit more steel, sort of, in sort of middle of the park. But centre back still the one area. But I think having brought in Boateng, I'm a lot less worried. I think about the strength and sort of stability of the team, at least until January, anyway, when he obviously goes back, or potentially goes back, and we have obviously more time to address the centre back situation with a bit more sort of context in it. I think Bonner's kind of alluded to it as well. He said it's an area where we maybe look, reasonably light, but it's about using the budget where budgets can be most effective. And if for them they feel that it's either a centre back or Boateng, there's probably not going to be many centre backs out that we could get who would be a better option than that. So that would be the one area, but wouldn't necessarily be too upset if we didn't now, which is strange, because I thought it was a really clear area of weakness going into the season. But it seems it's one of those things with limited budget, limited squad, etc. You've got to make choices, and maybe this is just one of those.
I wanted to also very quickly, just something that was popping into my head when I was writing these questions earlier, was thinking about the Newport game and thinking about squad depth. Was I thought Jack Iredale had a fantastic game yesterday. Is it really to see the new shape and to see players like that slot in and play as well as he did yesterday? Is that as encouraging a sign as any to see a whole squad performing, playing as well as we've seen each other play, right? So it's like we see a team go and beat Morecambe 5-0, but then you see other players step in and play equally as well against league leaders. Is that a bigger sign as any, do you think, Owen, of where this team is going?
Yeah, I think so. We were talking in the chat before the Exeter game, weren't we, about Harrison Duncan, how he's, kind of slotted in really nicely at left back, and, how he was always kind of the emergency left back, and he's kind of made the position his own a little bit this year. And he didn't have a best game against Exeter, and now he's been pushed forward. And Iredale came in, and he's already played in the middle for us of defence, and now he's played out in in his favoured position. And he kind of hit the ground running really for his, I think it was his first league start.
I think so. Season. Yeah.
Yeah. Looked like he'd been playing with those guys for, a long season. It was really good. It's always a bit of an unsexy position, isn't it, left back? Like, no one, with the exception of, say, Roberto Carlos or Ashley Cole, no one notices the left back. But
Ashley Cole, sexy?
He was.
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up on the Newport game, Owen, who was your man of the match and why?
Mullin with the goals, Wes made the goals. I thought Hannum was great as well. Iredale was great. It's really hard. One of those three. I'm gonna go with Wes, I think.
Lovely shout, Tom.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go with Wes as well. I think there was three main ones for me, which is Mullin, Wes and Iredale, who obviously you know, just talked about there. I thought Wes just ran it. Just absolutely ran it, controlled it, won it for us. I know Mullin got the goals, but yeah, Wes were down for me.
Can we give a quick shout out to Harry Darling in defence? Because that was his first game of the season, come back for an operation. You know, I think he was probably a little bit upset to see the team got off to a really good start and, you know, kept a number of clean sheets in a row. And it's hard to, you know, obviously hard to break into a settled defence. But, you know, he came in yesterday, he was getting his head on everything. He was, I think he's quite an exciting prospect. And
yeah, he really is. He's really grown into that position, isn't he? He gets better every time I see him, I think. He must have been, especially you talk about the start of the season. He must have, I mean, especially Robbie Cundy's performances, specifically the goal against Birmingham, and then he played really well after that. But yeah, Darling was excellent yesterday. I also thought Harrison Dunk was brilliant, moving out on his left wing. Like, he's just Mr. Reliable, isn't he? Last thing to mention before we wrap up the first UTAS Extra is, by now, everyone listening will have seen the pristine wonder that United and Hummel have come up with to mark our 50th year since election into the Football League. This might be going a bit far, but Owen, do you think it's the nicest shirt United have ever released?
Second nicest after that dark blue and light blue halved one from the late 90s.
Okay. Not the Fujitsu.
I could talk about that shirt for days.
And you think second nicest after that?
It's up there, yeah. I mean, it's a really nice shirt. You know, it's really clean. It's I like the fact it's all in white. You know, even like the Hummel logo and the chevrons on it are all in white. It's certainly a lot nicer for not having Mick George on the front. And they, you know, yeah, they probably deserve a bit of credit for kind of allowing United to do that. And you know, I know you see it at Premier League teams sometimes, and in American sports they have throwback weekends, don't they, where they wear retro shirts. But it's a little bit unusual, I think, in British football. So yeah, for them to kind of do that is really good. The shirt looked great. Especially to see like Paul Mullin wearing it, wearing black boots, you know, very very traditional kind of,
player. So Tom, what did you make of the shirt?
Yeah, well, Owen mentioned it looked clean. It didn't look very clean yesterday after 90 minutes pissing down rain, sliding all over the gaff, and it's certainly not going to look clean with a Guinness thrown down it, I would have thought. But it's a really nice shirt. And as well as that, like talking about is it the nicest one we've had, where it sort of ranks, it's mad, and credit to the club that there's probably a discussion about whether or not it's the nicest one we've got this season.
Yeah,
just to be in that position. I'm sure for a sort of like before Hummel, we were always annoyed about the kit for one reason or another. It didn't look great. Sponsors in the wrong place or that sort of stuff. And now, you know, it's been smashed out of the park. And
sponsors in the wrong place or something wrong with it. Does anyone remember the year one, which had the collar, which is the itchiest collar? Like if you
put yeah.
it, or maybe it's just my one, but it's the itchiest thing I've ever worn.
Yeah, we seem to be over that problem now. But I think maybe with the remake that they made a couple of months back with the Fujitsu one, probably worth just shouting out the club and Gaz Daniels again, because in difficult times like these, you know, from there's obviously no fans in the ground, there's no income in that respect. You need something coming in. I think they sold 500 yesterday. I imagine they're all sold out already. I haven't checked. That's 25 grand.
Yeah.
Made simply, you know, through a bit of innovation, through a bit of creativity. So that's obviously a really important thing. But I think I sort of hope in a way that it doesn't become a regular shirt that we wear. I'd quite like the memory of it to be sort of associated with obviously the first election to the league 50 years ago, but also the sort of game yesterday, which did feel like a real throwback and was really successful. I don't know if it's necessarily going to do it the right justice if we lose 3-0 at like Mansfield or something. So that's really nice.
And our colour, you know, we don't play in white. You know, we did for one season, but you know, it's not. Yeah, we're the Amber Army, aren't we?
It did feel like a throwback though, didn't it, yesterday with the weather and everything, monsoon conditions. It felt like watching something, especially with like the grainy rain in front of it and stuff, and no one in the stands and stuff. Yeah. It definitely did. I think it has sold out, Tom, up to 4XL. So Jack Swinderhurst, if you're listening, I think your size is still there, mate. So you should be all right. One other thing I did want to mention, you talk about credit to the club. I wanted to quickly mention a lot of the brilliant work the media team have been doing. And if anyone's watched the Match Day Live things, there's a brilliant feature with John Taylor, obviously a United legend. And yesterday was World Mental Health Day, and he opens up about his own mental health. And it's just a really brilliant feature if anyone hasn't seen it. And obviously, United being the first mentally healthy club in the country, something I'm not surprised that we're featuring and getting behind, but it's still brilliant to see.
I think everything we've done really since kind of the coronavirus pandemic hit has just been spot on from the club. You know, we give them a lot of stick, and, you know, a lot of the time they deserve that. But since this has happened, you know, kind of immediately they had, you know, players on the phone, they had manager on the phone, you know, to like, you know, local elderly people and, you know, vulnerable people. And, you know, Bonner's kind of come out, he spoke very passionately to the fan base about, you know, wanting to get them back in the ground. And, you know, all the work, essentially for nothing now, that they did, you know, in trying to host the test events and obviously the Fulham game. So, yeah, they've just been, you know, really leading by example at the moment.
And I think those sorts of initiatives and that, it's reflected in the fan base willing to support the team from home. So I think we're fifth in iFollow passes sold. Is that right, in League Two? Which might belie our size. Like, I think there's bigger teams in League Two that have a bigger fan base, but clearly there's something this year that people are getting behind the team enough to go and spend £10 on a pass.
Yeah, there certainly seems to be like some goodwill towards the club at the moment. And, you know, the PR guys there are, you know, doing brilliantly and kind of, you know, working closely with the EFL, working closely with like the charity partners and that we have. So, you know, I think the club are always fighting a losing battle with PR. You know, we've had problems with, you know, with like fans in the past and stuff like that. And we've had, you know, issues with, you know, I think like long historic issues. You know, the Cambridge don't necessarily have like a massively like family friendly reputation, but I think over the past few years, they've really tried to, you know, to really turn that around. And now kind of going to a match day is, you know, a real pleasure for a lot of people, even if the performance on the pitch wasn't last season anyway.
Yeah. Well, it will be a pleasure to get back into the ground one day. Fingers crossed. I'm sure you guys will delve further into Let Fans In, the campaign, and any news over next week in the next pod, which is next weekend, which I can't be on, but you boys will masterfully cover every subject, I'm sure. It's been a pleasure to have you for the first UTAS Extra, boys. Thank you very much, Owen.
Cheers, thank you.
Let me know how the single sells, please. And Tom, I think the Twitter community is going to want a photo of that tattoo pretty quickly, so better hurry up.
We'll go on to it. I'll wait until the Barnside one gets lasered and we've got Wesley Lamb plastered all over my back permanently.
He'll love that.